What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
We've been at this podcast for, what, since October 2022, correct? We've never done this before. I've got a huge announcement off the top of the show. And I'm looking at Vic. She's saying, hold on, I know nothing about this. Yes, you do.
I'm never prepared for how you're going to open
No, but I think show. You are, because we kind of alluded to it 5 minutes ago when we connected with each other. You've changed your name to V. So,
okay.
Yeah. So
Go
it's
ahead.
Not Victoria anymore. It's Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and V. Right? Something's missing.
The tool that we're using here just arbitrarily changed my name from Victoria to V.
Are you sure you didn't do anything with it?
I don't know how to run this technology in the slightest way. So there's absolutely no way that. But yes, it's now Ryan and V, at least according to Riverside Studios.
Right. RV, right? It's an RV show. There you go. R&V. Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. Ton to get into. And we're, what, weeks away? Weeks away, yeah, from the All-Star break. But so many, I can say so many players, but two really big ones are not going. So we'll dive into that in a bit. We'll go west in a few minutes. Well, probably not a few, maybe 20, because that's what we do on this show. But let's begin in the east. And the latest news out of Toronto with the William Nylander situation. The contract, he did sign a deal, 8-year deal at $92 million, 11.5 per, and that'll begin in the 24-25 campaign. Writing was on the wall. They were going to get this thing done. And before you and I get into it, let's hear from William Nylander. It's always nice to hear as well. He's from Sweden, and anybody who comes to any of the 32 cities to play in the league, when it's a real, real nice place for them to be, it really makes it even sweeter. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, this has been home for me. This is the longest I've ever spent in one place in my entire life. So, I mean, it was funny. The other day I was talking to a friend, I don't know, and I said, and then we go home to, and I'm referring to Toronto. So, without even thinking about it, I mean, this is home.
So, home sweet home for him now, Vic, for the next 8 years after this one, 11.5 million, your thoughts?
I think it's what we expected. First of all, it's what we expected because they talked about that figure in that term for the last 5 days. So we were just waiting for pen to be put to paper. So, I mean, we've had a lot of time to prepare ourselves for it. He's having a banger of a season, the best season of his career. So the timeliness for him has been wonderful. I know some people are wondering how are the Leafs going to move forward with this big, huge figure. Now they're invested in these four top players, and how is Treliving going to manage with the cap, all of that. Okay, let's first start here. He's a superstar in this league. He's a top 10 player, if not a top 5 forward in this league right now.
Easy. Top 5 right now, easy.
There's no issue there. It's not like they were going to get the guy for $7 million a year. It just wasn't going to happen. If the Toronto Maple Leafs weren't going to pay him 11.5, some other team was. Mm-hmm. The only advantage the Leafs had, and there's two of them, one of which we already talked about, he likes it here. He wants to stay in Toronto. He does consider it home. It has been his home already for many, many years. Mm-hmm. He's drafted to the team, all the rest of it. That was advantage number one. He doesn't want to move. Number two, he gets the 8th year. So any other team can throw $11.5 million at him, but as a free agent, you can only sign for 7. This takes him to 35. Mm-hmm. Toronto Maple Leafs are getting William Nylander in his prime. It's a lot right now. When the cap rises year by year, and I think a lot of times we don't have the foresight to talk about that, but the cap is going to be a lot higher in 5 years from now. And this might be not a bargain because it's still a chunk of change, but it's going to fit more reasonably under the cap then perhaps it looks like it does now. Now you're talking about the other three that are making, okay, so Austin Matthews is making the most. He should. He is the superstar. He is the top player on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. John Tavares, if he does resign, isn't getting $11 million again.
So not a chance.
Make, not even close to it, actually, if he does resign. So they're going to get some savings there. Of course, you're going to have to deal with the Mitch Marner situation in a year or so. So there's that. But I mean, does Mitch Marner stay with the Leafs? I don't know. Here, quick story, and I'm going to try and keep this quick.
No, you're not.
I play in a fantasy baseball league. I have for 20 years. I'm going into my 20th season. It's a legacy league. I've been with the same guys forever. It's a very serious fantasy baseball league. I've won once. It's a 20-team league. I won in 2008. It was an auction draft. So an auction draft is when you're drafting players, you have to bid money. So you pile a whole bunch of money on Aaron Judge and the superstars, and then you try to fill out your roster with cheap guys.
Right.
The year I won, I had a famous $3 outfield. Ryan Ludwig was one of them.
Okay.
So these were guys who were undervalued at the draft, but ended up being stars. So because they played every day for me and they played amazingly. So but I did research. I tried to find the diamond in the rough for very little money.
Right.
This is what Brad has to do now with the Leafs. He needs a $3 outfield to put players on the blue line, players in the bottom six. That's his challenge now. And if he's going to prove how quality he is as a GM, if he can either pull it off or not.
Great comparable with that. And right now, I think Toronto has 8 signed for next season, 8 forwards, and I believe they have 3 defensemen, 3 on the blue line. Everybody else on the team, UFA or an RFA. One of the huge discussion points, again, whenever this happens in Toronto, because it's happened a lot, with Mitch Marner's contract, Auston Matthews' contract, John Tavares' contract, now William Nylander's contract. And can they win with the core 4? Can they win with the 5, put Riley on the back end, make it a 5? I'm sick and tired of that narrative. I really am. It's not their fault they haven't won. Last time I checked, hockey's not just a 5-person game. It doesn't matter how much money you're making. It doesn't matter if you're fully loaded up front. It's the job of the GM, if you want to give them that amount of money up front or on the back end, take Erik Karlsson, for example, his contract, whoever you want to put on the back end. If you want to give them that amount of money to a certain small amount of players, to your point, you've got to find that $3 outfield. You've got to make the pieces fit within the cap. So anybody who's going to say, oh my goodness, the Leafs can't win with them, they can't with whatever. You put the 5 guys on Toronto, put them on, say, Boston, put them on Vegas. I'm trying to talk about the top teams in the league that have actually won and have been very successful recently. They've had good goaltending. They've had a solid defense. The Leafs don't have that right now. So don't blame these 5 for the amount of money they're making, that it's all up to them to make a Stanley Cup come to Toronto. That's what I'm saying. I've already seen that today. And we're doing this on, what day is it today?
It's Monday? January the 8th. It's Monday, okay. January the 8th.
So we're doing this on Monday the 8th, and it's already, after Nylander, boy, you know, they're paying him, they're paying this. Okay, it doesn't matter. To your point, another team would have given him 11.5, easy, because he is one of the best players right now in the game today.
And
right
if you
now,
look at some
season.
Recent Stanley Cup winners, Ryan, to your point, the Lightning, Vegas, they have their stars too. But what the GMs of those organizations has managed to do is pad their lineup with players that have offered the depth, that have brought them through to the playoffs to win Stanley Cups. And they have players that are making not a lot of money. So that's the challenge now. Now you got to find those guys. You got to find those guys who are going to play on your fourth line, are going to be difference makers and help you win it all ultimately. But again, I mean, you got 4 players making $45 million. That's a fact. And you're going to have those guys.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out what you're going to do around it.
And you just got to live with it. Anyway, good on Willie. A really nice contract for him. A player-friendly contract, a full no-move clause as well for the 8 seasons that he has coming up with Toronto. I'm getting to the point in the Atlantic Division, maybe not even the Atlantic, but the entire Eastern Conference, to possibly say that maybe every team has to go through the Panthers to get to that top spot in that Eastern Conference by the time it's whittled down to 2 teams to play for that Stanley Cup at some point in June. It is unbelievable. Before we get to Nick Cousins, and I have a lot to say about him, the fact that I'm going to take time out of my day to talk about him is ridiculous. But anyway, these Panthers, hold on a second. You said to me the next show we do, you'd put the jersey on.
Yeah, I forgot. Okay, next one.
Yeah, so you've changed your name, and now you don't follow through with your promises.
The
show is off the rails as we speak. Anyway, I'm just kidding. The Panthers, unbelievable what they're doing. I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
They've won 7 straight.
Yeah.
Sam Reinhart scores 2 goals every game, it almost seems like.
Yeah, he does.
He has 9 and 6 right now.
Yeah.
Matthew Tkachuk is starting to look like Matthew Tkachuk again. which we all knew was going to happen. The big boys are getting it done. The supporting players are getting it done. The goaltending has been fantastic. Yep. They're having a lot of fun out there. This is the Panthers team. They're scoring like crazy. This is the Panthers team we enjoyed watching when they were doing exactly the same thing through the postseason. And yes, it is good on them. Would you say best team in the East now or not quite yet? You would, not the Rangers.
I would. Okay. No, I
not
would.
Boston,
I would,
not the Rangers? All right.
Yeah, I would say that's a good question because, yeah, New York's been at the top and Boston's been at the top as well. But I just think with the momentum and every single thing going right for the Panthers, they beat Colorado 8-4 the other night. It's not like Colorado's a slouch. They're not 31st in the 32-team league. That was a pretty impressive win. So, yeah, I would say the Panthers, easy right now, the top team in the East. One of the tops, well, the Winnipeg Jets are pretty good too. A lot of teams in the West. But yeah, I'd say the Panthers.
They're the hottest for sure. I'm still not going to call them the best, but I will call them the hottest right now. And maybe in a couple of weeks from now, maybe I'll have changed my mind about that and they will be top of the division because they aren't quite yet, I don't believe. They're still trailing Boston by 2 points.
Right.
But that could change very, very quickly.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the start that Boston had, right? They had a, just like they had a start last season. They went up to 130 plus points, whatever it was. Okay, Nick Cousins, I'm just going to get into this really quickly.
He's a rat.
Okay, let's move on.
That's what Kevin Bieksa called him on the broadcast the other night. He called him a rat.
I impressive. Saw that and I heard it and I thought it was very good. And it's about time that that happens because he is exactly that. I thought what he did the other game when Jason Zucker got suspended, what was it, three games? Okay.
Yep.
So when he got suspended for coming at him after when he had that hit, it was absolutely unacceptable. And you're right. Kevin Bieksa has said that too on Hockey Night in Canada. And they played some of the moments that Nick Cousins has been involved with or in. And some of the moments when he hits somebody, then someone comes after him and then he turtles. He goes down to the ice like he's been shot and that's the end of it. Stand up for yourself. Don't delay. And these hits are the hits that need to be eliminated from the game.
You're not
going to eliminate any of these from the game unless you eliminate Nick Cousins from the game. But you're not going to eliminate Nick Cousins from the game. So what are you going to do? Someone's going to get really, really, really badly hurt one of these times when he does something stupid because that's what he's doing. He's playing stupid hockey on a very good hockey team. So why are you taking away from what's happening in Florida?
I think he's just not a very good player who feels he needs to play that way to make his presence felt on the ice. And he's dirty. That's all there is to it. He's a dirty player. So
yeah.
Until the league actually cracks down on it, you're right. Somebody's going to get seriously hurt. And the other problem is, well, the other issue to watch out for is Nick Cousins is going to get it at some point in time. And I don't want to see that either. I don't want to see him run either and severely hurt either. That doesn't solve anything.
And when he hit Juuso Välimäki, when he hit him when he was on his knees and drove his head into the boards with his legs, there was no penalty on that play. I mean, I understand hockey's a fast game. Totally get it. But You can't miss that.
Do you not think that he's just going to get his comeuppance at some point in time, though? I think he will.
He may, but he'll turtle. That's what will happen. Someone will come at him, and then he'll put his hands up, down, and his teammates.
Fight. I know.
Are you just saying about being suspended?
Someone's going to run him. Yeah.
Someone's going to run him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, not that we condone a really nasty type of style of play.
I don't want to see that happen. Yeah. I don't want to see that happen either. But that it is going to happen.
Yeah, it's not good. Tampa Bay. So you go from one FLA team to another FLA team. And what do you make of Tampa Bay?
They're not having a very good 2024 so far.
No, let's rewind.
They just got lit up by the Bruins 7-3. They were okay before then, but they got beat by the Jets. I just think there's something going on right now with this team.
I think there's been something going on for the whole season. There's something they've lost. They've lost that mojo, if you will.
The lightning magic.
Yeah, they lost that continuity and what has gotten them success. I'm not saying they're a bad team. The other night, John Cooper lost his mind and he got a penalty. He got a 2-minute minor for abusing the official. He sometimes does lose his mind, but I looked at that and thought, wow, there's a lot happening. I'm not saying the team's going to go down the you-know-what and not make the postseason, but they've been off, Vic, for the entire year.
they've been off particularly recently. I think they have one win in their past six. It's not in front of me, so it might be 1-5. But the only win that they have was against a Minnesota Wild team that is banged up so badly right now. Doesn't have Kirill, doesn't have their number one goaltender. They're struggling big time, and that's the only win they have. They don't look like themselves. They've lost the Lightning magic. You say you just said you don't. Oh, you're not going to say that they're not going to make the playoffs. I'll say it. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
You know what?
That's
true. They
don't turn things around very quickly. And you have a leadership on that team. Any team that Steven Stamkos plays for is, and you can't count them out because they still have all of that. Kucherov, one of the best players in the league, is playing for that team as well. Vasilevsky is between the pipes, although he hasn't been that great lately either. So they're going to have to come together. But right now, Ryan, we're halfway through the season. There is no more give it a minute. Oh, we'll see how where they are in the next couple of weeks. They all count now. They count a lot. I mean, they always count. Every single game is equal to another.
And especially when teams, when teams like Florida, other teams are playing very well right now. You can't afford to take that night off.
Not in that division. I mean, not in any division, but not in that division. You got Carolina's coming up now. I know they're not in the same division, but the Flyers are playing well. There's other teams. Detroit has surpassed the Lightning. Yeah. In the Atlantic.
Who would have thought that?
Not me.
So, second week of January, not a chance.
Not at all. So they're struggling right now, and they're going to have to figure it out. And they're going to have to figure it out very quickly. They're playing the Kings coming up, the Devils. Okay, they're going to play the Ducks. So that one you want to sort of count as a W if you can.
Yeah.
But they don't have an easy schedule coming up either, and they're going to have to turn it around very quickly.
You mentioned Detroit, completely different in 24 than they ended 23. They ended 23, I think they had 13 games, and they were 3-9-1. So they ended with 3 wins in 13 to finish off 23, and now they come out of that California sweep with the 3 games, and you mentioned them. They're ahead of Tampa Bay. There's no way. I am so pulling for Detroit. I really am. And in that slide, too, I remember last month when it was happening, Patrick Kane signing with Detroit, that's not going to do anything. Again, going back to what I said about Toronto, one player, three player, four, five, they're not going to make a hockey team. They're not going to win you games. That's not just what's going to happen. But I love the direction. Even if the Wings do not make something happen by the time spring hockey hits, I love the direction the team is going.
They are doing and we're going to get to the Kraken in a little bit. And when we start to tackle the West, they're doing what good hockey teams do to need to succeed. They're scoring by committee. The last few games, it's not just DeBrincat and Larkin. It's DeBrincat and Larkin and Compher and Lucas Raymond and Robbie Fabry and Michael Rasmussen. Like,
keep
everybody
going.
I actually can. David Perron. Yeah. Andrew Kopp is contributing.
Steve Yzerman, Sergei Fedorov, right. Nick Lidstrom.
Remember those teams? Man,
oh, boy.
Oh. Now, these guys aren't those guys. That's not what we're saying at all. Daniel Sprong is scoring. Like, everybody is pitching in right now, and their goaltending is good. Finally, they found somebody who can actually tend that. They have a little bit of a break now. I think they're off until Thursday, and I don't think they want to be now where it's Monday.
You've got this momentum.
You don't want to be off for 3 days, but hopefully they can continue. But yes, a quick stick tap to the Detroit Red Wings, because they have been up and down and up and down and more down than up. But now I think they're in a wild card spot right now, and good for them. I don't think they're going to be there by the time we're talking about this in April. I don't, but it's fun that they're in they're right now. And if they're playing meaningful hockey in March, that's great. That marketplace needs that. It is such a great hockey town. It is fantastic. So I'm really happy for Red Wings fans in this regard.
That's why they call it Hockey Town.
That's right. As soon as I said it out loud, I was like, oh.
You know, see, I listen to you. I do. Sometimes. What? You say no.
Yeah.
Quickly, too, we did a stick tap to Detroit. Shout out to Sam Montembeau. I watched that game on the weekend. The Canadians beating the Rangers. What a great hockey game. It really was. And I know I said on the hot stove that I do on the weekends, we go through our picks of the night. And Dave picks, an easy win, whoever over whoever. Dan, same thing. I always go with an underdog. So I said, okay, I'm going to take Montreal. And they both went, are you kidding? I'm like, yeah, whatever. Why not? And then guess what? They won. Anyway, the numbers on him, stopped 45 shots. He faced 48, stopped 45. Mm-hmm. Save percentage 938, 20 shots in the second period, stopped all 14 in the first. He was dynamite in overtime, and then he was great in the shootout. Martin St. Louis said too, probably when asked about, is this your goalie? The way he answered was, he's had a few more starts than the others at this point. So that's pretty much given. But it's great, kind of Carey Price-like on that night.
Now, you never want to expose your goaltender to 48 shots.
No, you don't, but it's Montreal, and it was against the Rangers, right?
Right. Because that's a very busy night. You don't want to be in that position in the first place. But he did manage, and they did escape with the 2 points, and good on him for that. Here's the fantastic part. He is their number one goaltender. Of course he is. Yeah. They're paying him $1 million this year.
Yeah.
He's 27 years old. They signed him to a 3-year extension where they're paying him $3 million. So if he continues, if Montreal can continue to improve their team around them, and of course that's what they want to do, and they're moving in that direction, we all recognize that. Mm-hmm. So if Montreal continues to get better and better, and they have their number one goalie locked in for three and change for the next 3 years. That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You have to fill these spots with bargains. That's how you're going to succeed.
Yeah.
So it's congratulations to him. I like watching him play. I think the team enjoys playing in front of him. Just Canadians, please don't expose your netminder to 48 shots every night.
No.
Because he's going to get very tired very fast.
Yeah. Martin Saint-Louis after first star Montembeau. But guys, you got the win, but don't do that again. Help him out. That's the whole point of the game of hockey. A few quick things to get to before we head west. Carolina Hurricanes, they lose to the Blues 2-1 in the shoot. I think that went 5 rounds too. So I'm just going to say that was pretty much a tie. Anyway, you look at what Carolina's done the last number of games, put up 6 against Washington, 6 against the Rangers, 3-5-5 against Toronto, Montreal, and Nashville. The team is finally playing. You and I have talked about this a number of times on this podcast. The team is playing the way that a lot of people thought that they should be playing initially, and it's nice to see because they're a very talented hockey team.
Defensively, they're starting to look like the Carolina Hurricanes that we're accustomed to watching.
Right.
Number one, they are scoring. It's a little top heavy for me. Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov have like 40 points between them in the last 6 games, and nobody else is really doing that much. So they're going to have to get a little bit more goal scoring support from other members of that lineup. It can't just be Sebastian Aho has 15 points in 6 games. 15.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That is bananas.
That's not sustainable, but it's really amazing.
It's awesome, and it's great to watch, and it's so nice to see those two healthy again and enjoying the chemistry that they've enjoyed in the past. It's fantastic. Everybody else is going to have to pull it up, but Kochetkov has been amazing in net as well. So they are rolling again. This is the Hurricane squad we've become accustomed to. This was the team we talked about being in the mix, final four in the East, or even in maybe in the final, in the conference final in the East. So to see them doing what they're supposed to be doing is nice again.
The other night, they beat the Washington Capitals 6-2. And at that point, it was their fifth win in a row. And I think they scored 5 unanswered in 16 minutes and 20 some odd seconds. So it was just a complete whitewashing of the Capitals. The fact that the Capitals, and we did this when we talked earlier on today about what we were, different discussion points that we would address. The fact that Washington is right now at 44 points, and they're only sitting 2 points back of the Islanders and 2 points back of the Flyers, only 5 back of Carolina. The fact that they're minus 23 simply defies anything that I would love to go back, and maybe I'll do this at some point. They've scored 94. Only team that scored less are the Sharks, and they've lost 11, and they're terrible. They've scored 80. But I want to go back to see if there's any team that ends up with a significant plus-minus differential, which is negative, that either end up getting into the postseason or get very close. Because I haven't seen this. This just doesn't make any sense. They can't score, but yet somehow they're getting points.
I can explain the math. Every single game they win by 1 point.
I know.
Every single game they lose, they get blown out.
Okay. So there you go. There's the answer.
And I'm looking back to almost mid-December, and the pattern has been so consistent. They win 1-goal games, and when they lose large. So that explains the goal differential. But that is unsustainable because they're not going to win every 1-goal game. They're just not. You can't continue to win 1-goal games over and over. It's going to come back and bite you in the behind. It is.
Right. Let's move on. Last one. Jack Hughes. So Connor Bedard, we're going to get into him in just a bit too. He's not going to the All-Star game with a fractured jaw. Jack Hughes, the injury that was sustained recently, he's now out as well. And what you told me before we came on, the latest news is that they're hoping not to have surgery, which looks like the best case scenario if they don't have surgery. So that's left to for us to think about, okay, well, this is not a very good situation.
It's still a little bit rumor at this point, but it's from Elliot Friedman, so that's pretty good rumor. I mean, he obviously has sources. The Devils haven't said anything official yet. Again, it is 5 p.m. Monday, January 8th right now. So this is what we know right this second. He sustained an arm injury. The best news they said that's coming out of the organization is that he probably doesn't need surgery. Yeah. So this sounds like something nasty.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. Maybe this just is getting a little bit overblown on the Monday. Hopefully he's just out a couple of weeks. It doesn't smell like that right now. This smells long-term and it sucks because the Devils are a lot more fun. Well, they're a lot better team when they have Jack Hughes in the lineup, but they're also a lot more fun to watch. And this is one of those teams that you were expecting them to be more of what the Hurricanes are doing now. To win more games more consistently, and they've shown signs of it. And I know they have goaltending problems, but they've shown signs of it. And he's just him and Nico Hischier, they're the engine, man. And when you don't have one of them,
it's not like, hey, here's our first John Gibson reference. Hey, John, hey, New Jersey, let's go. Deadline's coming up March 8th. New Jersey, from what they did last season as well, from the season before, that huge turnaround. And the Devils, not like they can't score. They have 135 goals. So they're up near the top of the league in that category, but they just keep giving up because they don't have goaltending. It should be a simple fix, but it's not that easy. I see.
And they're going to miss Jack Hughes as well. Oh, even what he does in all aspects of the game, not just scoring. Yeah. He's their top center. Like, what are you going to do? So that's unfortunate.
We'll see. He won't be going to the All-Star game. Neither will Bedard. We'll get into that in just a bit. We'll go west. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, and V. Back after this.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
He is Ryan Payton, and I am Victoria Matiash, according to Riverside Studios, the, but we'll go with that for now. This is Monday, January the 8th. Before puck drop, we have four games on tonight. This is Pucks and Seven. We are available anywhere you can get your podcasts. I think Ryan already mentioned that. And if you're already listening to us, you found us somehow. So it always feels a little redundant to mention that.
Wherever you find us, keep looking there.
Same place.
Yeah.
We just toured the East. We're now going to tour the West. And we talked about how the Florida Panthers are just sizzling right now in the Eastern Conference. And if there's a hotter team, maybe in the league at present, it would have to be the Winnipeg Jets. Is there a weakness on this team? I've watched them play quite a bit lately. Yeah. And they just seem, first of all, they all seem completely bought in. Everybody keeps on saying this is a very well-coached team. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. But I think all the players have bought into each other. I think it looks like after the big mess of last year, and when you were wondering about contract statuses of Hellebuck and Scheifele and what's going to happen with Blake Wheeler and all this mess, and there seemed to be like a big crevice in that dressing room between personalities and players, it is gone. I can't remember such a turnaround with the way that the players seem committed to each other.
Right.
From being so broken months ago to be probably one of the most cohesive units in all aspects right now in the league.
They bought into the system and they bought into each other, and they're doing this without Kyle Connor. He did skate, but he's still a ways away to come back. And with the way Winnipeg's playing, just a side note on him, you don't need to rush the guy back. Take your time. Come back when you're at least 180%, not when you're maybe 80, 85, or 90. Let me go on these statistics. I tried to memorize them, but there's just way too much. So the Winnipeg Jets, they are the hottest team in the league. They've not allowed 3 goals in 60 minutes since the last day of November. That's 17 games. Since December 1, the Jets have an 882 points percentage, first in the league. They've allowed 1.76 goals per game first, and they've scored 3.53 sixth. Connor Hellebuck is third in save percentage, 935. Nick Ehlers, 20 points in 17 games. Velarde's been great. Nemestnikov's been fantastic. To your point, everybody's bought into this system, and there is not a weakness, knock on wood, with this team right now.
Nino Niederreiter, too. There's been other players that just aren't as flashy as the top scoring guys. And again, you just mentioned Kyle Connor, their top scorer. They're winning without him right now, and they should absolutely take their time with him. By the way, he looks fine. He has a leg injury. And oh, you know he does. Flying yeah. around the
and
ice right now.
Yeah, and didn't I think we talked about this last time because he was on the ice that what he needs to do obviously is take the, you know, it's a game situation's a lot different. And not only are you skating faster, but you're stopping, starting, you're getting hit, you're getting bumped, all that type of thing. But to my point, don't rush him back though. He looks fine, but take your time.
Absolutely. And the defense has been solid. Hellebuck yeah. is looking like a Vezina contender again. Laurent Brossoit, when he's subbed in, he's looked great too. There doesn't seem to be any weakness whatsoever. And the most fun part of it maybe for Jets fans is they have cap space, Ryan.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
If they want to add somebody, I don't think they have a ton, but they have a few, they have a handful of mil. It's not in front of me. They have a handful of mil to spend. If they want to add a piece, it's going to be some sort of rental type player, I would imagine, at this stage. But if they want to add a piece in March, just to strengthen them a little bit further. Now, you don't want to mess with the chemistry. I know sometimes that happens as well.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if there's some sort of like piece hanging right there that's not too expensive, easy to get, and it's going to fit in seamlessly, you got to go for it.
Deadline cap space projected right now, almost $5 million.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of money at $5 million on March the 8th. And then you have what, a month that you end up paying? They don't get paid in the postseason. So you have to pay them for a month, whoever you end up getting. But I'm with you. Don't, and Kevin Cheveldayoff, I'm sure he won't do this, but some GMs do. Don't make a move for the sake of making one. Don't think you have to, just because you have that cap space as well. But because you have the cap space, it may want you to, it may push, if I was the GM, it would push me more to really think about adding a small piece to that puzzle. Nothing to break up the chemistry, but say a fourth line guy, a third line guy, give you 10 minutes, he can grind, he'll give you, you know, he'll be physical, whatever it is. But as of right now, there's absolutely nothing they have to add to. They're fun.
One of Brian Burke's famous sayings is sometimes the best move is the one you didn't make.
Yeah.
So, and that could be the case here. But again, I think if they could bring in a physical player for the postseason, and this is a very physical team already.
Yeah, yeah,
but
no,
if they
I agree.
Could bring that type of player that costs maybe $2.5-3 million, somebody like that, you have that extra piece because also players get hurt.
Yeah.
You still want to have the extra insurance there as well. But they are sitting, they are winning games, they are sitting pretty. No team wants to play these guys any night right now. So yes, I would say the hottest team in the NHL for sure.
Yeah, Vic, the Jets are flying high.
They are. They're soaring, Ryan.
There we go. See?
I'm like spending too much time with you.
I know. We're two peas in the pod. Yeah. You just didn't tell me you changed your name. Anyway, we'll talk about that after the show. You wanted to talk about the Avalanche's defense.
It's just been recently. It's just been recently they've been hemorrhaging some goals. And it's what I'm very curious to see. They are playing the Boston Bruins tonight. Again, this is Monday.
This is a big test. Because they lost to the Panthers 8-4, right? So they gave up 8 to the Florida.
They just gave up.
Yeah.
They just gave up 8 goals to the Florida Panthers, and now they're going to face a Boston team. And the only reason this is catching me so much by surprise is because their defense is considered one of the better cores in the league, right?
Yes.
So they're not, the Colorado Avalanche, Devin Taves and Cale Makar, do not give up 8 goals a game.
No.
And now they're going to go and face a Bruins team that has been filling the net. They've been one of the most productive teams in the last couple of weeks as well. So this is one game I'm watching for sure. Vancouver Rangers. There's two marquee matchups on this Monday evening that I'm really looking forward to. Am I panicking about Colorado's defense? Am I panicking about the Avalanche altogether? Of course not.
I'll answer it for you. No.
No. But it's been a curiosity of late. That's all.
Yeah. Colorado's been an interesting team, and to me, they've been, this may not make any sense, but they've been flying under the radar a bit. They've been just winning games, and sometimes they don't, such as the 8-4 one, but they're not getting as much talk as, say, Winnipeg. They're not getting as much talk as Vancouver, even Edmonton, Seattle. We'll get into that in a second. You talked about Boston. You look what the Canes are doing now, the Florida Panthers, which is fine, but Colorado's a very good hockey team, so don't sleep on that team whatsoever.
One last note on the Avalanche, and you're exactly right. They're not getting enough attention for one particular player. You know who's scoring a lot right now? Jonathan Drouin.
Yeah.
He is playing.
Really? Who? Yes. Is he still playing?
Honestly, everybody was. So this was a big free agent signing.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon wanted his old Halifax Mooseheads buddy to come and join him in Avalanche and talk the team into it. So the story goes. And he was a bit of a dud to start the season. And now? Now he has 13 points in 12 games. And now he's playing on a top line and a top power play with his buddy MacKinnon and with Mikko Rantanen. And he is looking like the Jonathan Drouin that you all expected him to be when he was drafted so early so many years ago.
sometimes players, and hopefully this is sustainable, sometimes players in any sport just need to be in a comfortable situation. And you can try to get them in something with all the pressure, but this one seems to be comfortable. If you can be almost a point per game guy, just a bit over a point per game guy, all 31 other teams would take Jonathan Drouin.
4 goals in his last 3.
Yeah. There you go. Over a goal per game. So the other night, Connor, we talked about Jack Hughes not going to the All-Star game. Connor Bedard is not going to the All-Star game as well. He was hurt the other night in that, or the other day in that game against New Jersey, and also Jack Hughes was hurt in that game as well against the Chicago Blackhawks. I think there was nothing wrong with the play. It's one of those quick plays that happen in hockey, and when you're on the ice or on the bench, if you see Bedard go down, you think it's dirty, and that's what some of the Hawks actually thought about that hit.
I mean, everybody saw it's dirty, so I think it's dirty.
Where do you stand?
Well, we're going to fight now. I'm not going to go as far as Kachuk and say it was dirty with a capital D. Brendan Smith, okay, it was an open ice hit. So Connor Bedard is, if you haven't seen it, Connor Bedard is trying to split the D. And it is an open ice hit from Brendan Smith. He went in and there's a height difference. So Brendan Smith went in with his shoulder. And I'm actually making the motion right now that only Ryan can see. And knocked Connor Bedard right in the jaw.
I feel like I need to play music now with this because you're actually moving. Anyway, sorry. Go on. Keep going.
So, yes, I think Brendan Smith went in with relish, and I think he target Connor Bedard's jaw with his shoulder on purpose to break it? No. Do I think he went in with a little extra because he wanted to hit him hard? Yes. Do I think he should be responsible for not throwing his shoulder into a guy's face? Yes. So I do have issues with the hit.
Okay. So explain this to me then. If you're 6'2 and you hit a guy who's 5'10, how are you supposed to hit him then? Without the shoulder getting to the 5'10 person's neck and head area.
He went in hard, Ryan, and he went in and up. He did it on purpose. He went to go and hit him hard. He absolutely did, and he didn't need to. He could have clocked him just body to body. He didn't need to go in like that.
But that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to do body to body.
I don't think you're more forgiving of it than I am.
I am because
I watched this play about 38 times. I watched it over and over and over again because I wanted to make sure that I felt what I felt about it is what I felt about it. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't emotionally clouded either because it was really upsetting. This is the most upsetting news of the year, losing this young star for an indeterminate period of time.
Yeah, and I'm not taking anything away from that. I watched it 39 times, so if you watch it one more time, try to do the 39th and maybe you'll change. No, you won't. My point is that when you hit somebody in hockey, you don't lead with your body. You don't lead with the side of your body. You lead with the upper part of your body. You lead with the shoulder. And he lost control of the puck. But what's he going to do? He's going to stop. He had planned to hit him anyway. And I agree that having him not going out to the All-Star game is tough. I do. There was nothing wrong with the hit. And when Luke Richardson, not saying that, I take his word over yours, but when Luke Richardson says after, I don't think it was dirty, I really don't. Luke Richardson was a very tough guy when he played hockey. And I don't think there was any malicious intent on Smith to cause injury. It was a 6'2 guy hitting a 5'10 guy, and you cannot hit anyone who's smaller than you by how many inches is that? 4? 5? You can't hit somebody without leading with the shoulder.
There was too much relish, and I think it could have been avoided.
Tiny bit of mustard, maybe. But I don't think I'll go as far as relish. You see, Vic and I don't usually have arguments, but this is where we agree to disagree. But the point is, Bedard is out, and it stinks. It stinks that he's not going to go to the and there's not going to be an All-Star game for the next few years, too, because there are going to be Olympics and there's going to be World Cup. So we may not see one until 27.
It's not even the All-Star game. I just feel sorry for the Blackhawks. This is a reason to come out. People bought tickets to come and watch this kid play.
Well, yeah. And McDavid hurt himself too, remember? I think in his rookie year.
I remember that.
Something like that. So, I mean, it's a hockey play gone wrong. Anyway, we will agree to disagree. Let's move on.
Who's playing? Who's playing for the Blackhawks these days? So you got Connor Bedard on IR. Oh, yeah. Taylor Hall's been out all. So Nick Foligno, who came to Bedard's defense, now has a broken finger.
Broke his finger.
I'm assuming it's because he punched Brendan Smith's helmet over and over and over again.
Absolutely, it is.
That's not a coincidence then.
Okay? No. Yeah, yeah. It was all because of that hit. Yeah.
Anthony Beauvillier is out. Tyler Johnson is out. Andreas Athanasiou is out. Like, there are no experienced players on the Jason Dickinson, bless him, is centering a top line with two players I don't know. I do, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
I don't even recognize half this roster right now.
No.
And it's unfortunate because the Blackhawks, again, we have a softer spot for them. They're original 16. This is a very invested hockey market. People bought tickets to come and watch this young kid play. And I'm just very disappointed that he's out for an indeterminate amount of time. What does that mean? Is it 2 months? Is he playing again this year? I think he's going to play again.
I think he's going to play, but don't rush him. It's not like you're going to the postseason, so take it easy. You didn't mention Seth Jones. He's out as well. Joey Anderson is out
soon.
As well.
Seth Jones, it sounds like he's coming back.
Just whoever is out at this point.
Their top defender's out, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just getting a call from Kyle Davidson. Oh, that's interesting. No, I'm busy. Sorry, Kyle.
Yeah. It's like, lace them up, Peyton.
Lace them up. I got to dust them off and let's go. The Vegas Golden Knights, every team goes through different things. Alex Pietrangelo said the other night, he said, yeah, you know what? Everyone goes through ups and downs. We're fine, whatever, yada, yada, yada. They put a lot of points in the bag before, or not before the season, of course. That would be great. Hey, let's get 100 points in the bag before we start the 82 games. That would be a great season. But they put points in the bag early on. They played very well. I'm fine. To me, they're kind of like the Colorado, but maybe a little bit more concerning now, just because they're not playing with what they did play to begin the season and what got them that championship a season ago. But I'm not worried. Are you worried?
There's a few losses that are sticking out for me a little bit. And that one to the Ducks the other day, that one stinks.
The Kraken
when they didn't score a single goal. That one stinks. Now, they've just come out of it and they just played a very impressive game against the Islanders and they won 5-2. So this is one of those situations where is this a turning of the page? But it's not getting any easier this week. They're facing the Avalanche and the Bruins. So those are not two automatic W's by any extent of the imagination.
Yeah.
You're right. It's ebb and flow. There are very few teams like the Boston Bruins of last year that you watch that they're just consistently fantastic all the time.
It's hard.
It is very hard. I don't like the fact that William Karlsson is out for a while. I think he's a key piece of that lineup. I don't think anything. He is a key piece of that lineup. I think he is a difference maker, not only in the scoring department, but with everything that he does. He's a great defensive forward as well. So it will be interesting. What their biggest problem is right now, to me, is goaltending. And it's not Logan Thompson's fault that they didn't score a single goal against the Kraken. I'm not going to go that far, of course. But this team doesn't look comfortable in front of him right now. So the best news to come out of Vegas, and this has been recently, the last couple of days, Adin Hill sounds like he's going to return. Yeah. I think that is going to be key. Not only because Adin Hill is a better goaltender this year than Logan Thompson, who has struggled. Mm-hmm. Not only because of that, but the players are going to skate differently out in front of him. We see that all the time. So to answer in the most roundabout way possible to answer your question, I'm not worried about them. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, I'm not either. You look at the games too that they've lost. They've lost to very good teams. The Panthers, the Kraken, the Panthers again, Tampa Bay 5-4, close one, Carolina 6-3. They beat the Kings 3-2. They did come back and beat the Islanders 5-2. So their next game is what are we at again? The 8th today? So they play on Wednesday against Colorado. That's going to be a key one. I'm not worried at all. They're going to be just fine. They have 51 points. They're second place in that Pacific Division, 2 points back of Vancouver. And if Vancouver wasn't playing so well, they'd be in first. And we probably wouldn't be talking much about, is there anybody concerned about the Vegas Golden Knights?
But they need Calgary sitting.
Yeah, I know they do. I know. And he'll take them over the hill. Calgary with, in a good way. Oh, come on. Hey, look, we've got a few minutes left to go. You have no idea what's in my bag of tricks. Okay, carry on. The Calgary Flames, 39 points. Edmonton has surpassed them. They have 41 points. The Kraken have surpassed them. I'm not saying they're going to fall to the depths of Anaheim, 12 points ahead of them right now in that Pacific Division. You wrote down on this, and again, we kind of go back and forth before the show and go back with different ideas. You say the Flames need to start dealing.
They have to start thinking about it.
Okay. You have 2 months, 2 months to the day, March 8th, January 8th, 2 months.
You know how strongly I back this team.
Oh, huge, huge.
I root for the Flames large for a whole host of different reasons. Jerome Iginla is one, just one of my favorite players of all time, and I've always felt a kinship with this team. I've always enjoyed them. They're a Canadian team. They're out of Calgary. Oh, and I love some of their current players as well.
Yeah.
It's not happening this year. Give it another week, 2 weeks, because every time they show some sign of life, and I'm like, they're turning it around now.
It doesn't last.
Calgary is scoring again. It doesn't last. Yeah. And just again, they went on a little streak and now they've lost another two in a row and they're fumbling again. And you're looking at that team and what they're doing and it just isn't enough. And they do have some key free agents coming up. This is a point where you have to start to think about what are we doing for next year? And it is a point where you have to start thinking about who you can move, what assets you can move out that aren't going to stick around anyways. And goodness knows there's a host of them. The rumors have been all season long about players want Hanifin and Elias Lindholm, players wanting out. Yeah. I thought when Backlund signed to start the season, I thought that was going to be what has happened in Winnipeg. It was going to bring everybody together. Other players were going to
really
jump. I did, yes, because they all love the guy, and it felt like they were going to become cohesive again. But nobody has. Nobody wants to stay there. Everybody's asking. Zadorov already left. Everybody's asking to get out. So now and I know it's harder to deal players away when the entire league knows they want to leave. Right? Yeah. You're not going to get the return.
It's
that
not
you
high
want.
On the list of destinations to go to.
No. So it's a little bit tough. Especially again, you're not going to get the best return possible when the other teams know that you have to move these guys. But I think it is something to start thinking about very, very strongly.
And if they do something like that, Vic, that is a huge voice to the fan base of Calgary. That is telling the fan base of Calgary, we're not confident in the team. And you've got to take the flack that you will get from making those moves. Noah Hanifin's a UFA. Mm-hmm. Christopher Tanev is a UFA. He's been in the news about being traded so many times already this season. Lindholm has been in the news. I heard the other day that Jacob Markstrom maybe as well. I mean, that would be unbelievable if they dealt Jacob Markstrom at the deadline. That and say the Flames are at the point still where they're at now, 2 months from now. What message is that? The message is we've given up on the season and let's kind of retool.
Anyway. And you have to talk to the fans. You have to explain that to the fans. Listen, it's not going to happen, but we want to make this team better for next year, for the year after, and for the year after that. And these are the moves that we're going to make now to make sure that we have a higher quality team down the line. Because, okay, first of all, even if they somehow miraculously squeak into the postseason, Ryan, they're not winning squat.
No, they don't have the players. No chance.
So what is the point? It's pulling the Band-Aid off now, move the bodies, get the picks back, get the prospects back, get some players, some young players who want to play in Calgary. It's a fun marketplace. It really is.
And they're getting a new building. Anyway, we'll see. The Kraken, you put down in the lineup. Woo! That's what you did. You did. W and you what? Four O's. Not five. Only four. Four stars, not five stars.
Woo!
So, yeah, there you go. You do it way better than I do. So they beat the Sens 4-1, Vegas 3-0, 2-1 Philly, Flames 2-1, Ducks 3-2, Kings 2-1. Okay. The sustainability of this first of all, they're keeping pace with Edmonton. It's kind of like the same season as Edmonton, but the expectation of Edmonton was more so than Seattle, I think, even though the Kraken had an amazing turnaround in year two than they did in the first year. But they're following Edmonton. They're tied in points. Do you know Edmonton, by the way, is only one overtime or shootout loss? Only one.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating? I did not know that. Seattle has nine. So just comparably speaking, but Edmonton only hit, so only one. Anyway, extra time. But the Kraken, let me ask you this. Last season, they defied a lot of logic and odds. Many people thought the team was not as good going in, and they would not be as good coming out of this season. But they're showing signs again that this team is a force to be reckoned with. Are you on that ship?
No. Okay, I will say this. They've won a bunch in a row. Uh-huh. And we talked about this last week when they were already winning a bunch in a row. And I pointed out the fact that they were winning all the games by a single goal. It was 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 3-2, 2-1.
Yes, right.
Now, that hasn't been the case recently. They've had a larger margin of victory in the last couple of games.
The last two games, 4-1 and 3-0.
I'll eat one bite of humble pie for that. I like the fact that they're doing it again, collectively. Like, you've got Alex Wenberg has a goal, Kyler Yamamoto. Everybody's scoring a little bit. This isn't Jared McCann.
And that's what they did all of last season. They scored by committee.
Jared McCann scored a lot last year. He scored 40 goals last year. But there isn't any of that happening this year. Other than Vince Dunn, who has just been absolute lightning and on the blue line again. Yeah. Other than him, everybody is just pitching in. There still aren't any superstars. Matty Beniers will probably be one at some point. He isn't there yet, but he actually isn't scoring right now. It's the rest of the team
doing it. Five goals, Beniers.
I mean, that's not great.
No.
So credit to Joey Decord. Let's give credit where credit is due. The goaltending has been chef's kiss. Probably he has probably been the hottest goaltender in the last 3 weeks in the entire league. He has
outside of Hellebuck.
I'm actually going to say that's a pretty close two horse race for me.
Yep.
He has been outstanding. He gives up one goal, if that, almost every single game. He has been so stingy. He has been so great. This is Joey Decord we're talking about, with a lot of listeners aren't even going to know who he is. This is my point. I just, without the names there, I'm just still skeptical. Now, maybe again, we're talking in 2-3 weeks and they're winning every 2 out of 3 games, because they're going to lose again. They're on a great run right now. What is it? 6, Ryan? I don't have it. 6 in a row they've won?
I think it's 6. Let me just check. Keep going. You're on a good roll.
Okay. I'm looking it up myself. They've won 6.
Whatever Edmonton's done, pretty much Seattle's doing the same thing.
Okay. So they've won 6 in a row. They're 8-0-2 in their last 10. That is outstanding. I still look at the personnel on this team. They still aren't in a playoff spot, even with this recent surge. I look at the personnel on this team, and I'm not completely buying in. But good for them. Good for the Kraken. Good for the fan base. The Winter Classic was fun. I know not a lot of people watched it, but I did, and I thought it was fun. So, great. Fantastic.
I'm not buying into the Kraken yet. In points, they are in a playoff spot, but they have 4 less wins than Edmonton. They do have 41 points. Edmonton has won 6. Do you know what? The Kings have lost 5 in a row.
Very quietly.
You blink, 2-3 weeks from now, Edmonton may be in that third spot in that Pacific Division, based on the way that they're playing. Anyway.
It's not impossible.
I know. It's fun to see what the Kraken are doing. They're a -9. We talked about Washington being terrible in plus-minus. Seattle with 41 points. But they're only 2 games. If you take away the OT losses with 9, they've only won 16 out of 39 games. So the point total is deceiving. That's 9 extra points they have out of the 41 that they have, of course, with the overtime.
Okay, games. So that answers it a little bit for me. So 16 so, wins, right?
Yeah.
That's so what the team is. So
no, yeah.
Hot streak right now. That's wonderful. And then they're going to hit the skids again because of the makeup of who they are.
Yeah. Edmonton. They've won 7 straight games. I don't think that they're going to hit the skid since that coaching change. I looked at the last 18 games. They've won 15. They won 15 out of their last 18 games. And I'm just going to say this. It's probably wrong in many people's minds, but to me, they've done it rather quietly.
Oh, and do you think so? I think people are talking about them all the time.
I do. I think that they've done it rather quietly because Edmonton had that run, a few weeks ago, and then they lost, 3 in a row, I think, and everyone thought, oh boy, here we go. What team is this? They're playing with confidence, and this is the team that we wanted to see. We've talked about Vegas and other clubs like that. I have full confidence in this club. They are the team I picked out of the West to come out by the time June hits, and I really hope it happens because I'd love to be right. I know there's a ways to go, but it's fun to see what they're doing.
If you look at their upcoming schedule too, when do they lose again? Listen to this.
Is it favorable?
On Tuesday, they visit the Blackhawks. Remember, that was supposed to be the Connor Bowl?
Yeah.
And now it's not because Bedard is out. So they visit the Blackhawks, who have 0 players playing right now. Then they play the Red Wings, very, very beatable. Then they play the Canadiens, very, very beatable. Okay, then they have the Leafs. That's going to be entertaining as
hell. That'll be fun.
Okay, but then the Kraken, the Flames, the Blue Jackets, when do they lose again? Maybe to the Leafs?
They lose against the Leafs and the Kraken.
That's your prediction?
Yes.
All right. But that's still, I know. The rest of those, there's no such, oh, and then they play the Blackhawks again.
Yeah. So as I said, 2-3 weeks from now,
schedule.
They could be in third spot in that Pacific Division. LA could be out. It's been Vancouver and Vegas and the Kings in the top 3 in those spots, I think, not from the get-go, because everyone's
tied
with no
points. You're saying in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks? I want to write it down. I want to check to see if it's true or not.
I said 3 weeks.
Okay. So by the end of January, we'll check back in.
Yeah, by the end of January, let's check.
The Edmonton Oilers are going to be in third place in the Pacific, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's a chance.
Yeah, there is. Quickly, the Professional Women's Hockey League, a shout-out to them. The game recently between Minnesota and Montreal on the weekend, I watched a bit of that. Attendance record, most watched professional women's ice hockey event with almost 13,400 people in Minnesota. It is so fun to see this, Vic. I know you're a huge fan and supporter of women's sports, and I am as well. It's great to see, and I know a lot of the people, like you probably do, we follow them so many times, whether they play like the Hillary Knights of the USA or Brianne Jenner of Canada, different things like that. But what I love most about this is the shots that they have in the crowd, And a lot of the commentary is, now these young kids are looking at these women and think, hey, it's not just the national team that I have to strive for. There's a league to actually go for before I maybe reach my goal of playing for my country. I see these kids' faces, and even if they're losing 5-0, to me, that's what it's all about.
If you can see it, if you see it, you can be it. That's the expression.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was, when I was a kid, I didn't watch women play hockey. So to me, that was something you just didn't do.
Right.
I played in high school. I played as a kid, but it wasn't something you could ever
do.
It was
so different back then.
It's nothing you could do as a profession. Yeah. There's no way that you were going to make a living. And now these young girls and boys, everybody's watching these women make an actual living. It's not a great living yet, but hopefully it will be eventually. And honest to goodness, hand to heart, when Natalie Spooner scored that goal for Toronto, I was watching the game in my basement. I let out the biggest roar, because first of all, I wanted her to score the first one. I just do. I'm a big Spooner fan.
It's kind of fitting.
It is kind of fitting. She's a fantastic player. The hockey's great. I watched the very first game when Billie Jean King was there to drop the ceremonial puck, and they had all the brouhaha with it. That first period was not good. It was so interesting because they were so tight.
Yeah.
They were so you could tell they were nervous.
They were terrified.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit. Yeah. I don't blame them one bit. And it took one period. And the second period, they came out and the nerves are gone. And they're like, this is entertaining hockey. Yeah. I have two very minor complaints. I can't get tickets.
Okay, that's not a bad complaint. I was going to say, don't you start complaining already.
They're sold out, and I want a jersey, and the jerseys are sold out, and I know they don't have the names yet. Print, please, PWHL, print some more jerseys. I really, really, really want one. I might get a hoodie instead, but I want them to print some more jerseys.
Minnesota, New York, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Boston. That's a real neat what? Sixum. And they will print jerseys.
Sextet.
Well, there you go.
Oh, by the way, congratulations to Grace Zumwinkle, who scored the hat trick the other day. Yep. And also congratulations to for having one of the best names I've ever heard.
Are you kidding?
Zumwinkle? Yeah. It's amazing.
I tore my Zumwinkle. Yeah, I'm good. No, jeez. I'm not making fun. I'm actually two games.
Oh boy.
Okay. Let's end on that note,
awesome,
shall we?
Last name.
Yeah. Grace, keep doing it. You're killing it. 4 goals, 2 games. Awesome stuff. We're out of time. Yes. Kind of glad we are. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. Pucks in 7, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Catch us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash, on Instagram at PatesRP and Matiash Victoria. And again, wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. We'll talk to you very soon.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.